Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your hearts today comes from the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, verses 11 to 14, as follows. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So far the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, what does it take to get you out of bed in the morning? Well, it's different for different people, right? I remember when I was a young man and needed my sleep, it always seemed like torture to have to get out of bed and especially to go to school. I didn't like it. Nowadays, I'll set my alarm and I'll actually wake up before the alarm. And I can't tell you why, except maybe I wake up a lot during the night. I don't know. But it used to be that I had to set an alarm in order to get up at a certain time. I still do, it's just that I wake up right before it goes off. Maybe it's that annoying sound. What does it take? Is that promise of a nice hot cup of tea or coffee, does that get you out of bed? What's your wake-up call? You know, if you're traveling, you go to a hotel, you forget your alarm clock. Well, nowadays, everybody's got an alarm clock right there, but if you don't want to bother with that, you can call to the front desk and tell them what time you want to get up in the morning, and they will give you a wake-up call. Our text for today is a wake-up call of sorts. It reminds us to watch and be watching as we prepare our hearts for our coming Savior. Not only for that celebration once again of the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, which we so look forward to every year, but also for Christ's second coming, which we know will come. He tells us and encourages us through the Apostle Paul in these words to continue watching, because now is the time. That's our theme for today. The time is now to wake up, to get dressed, and to look forward to a new day. A lot of times what gets you to jump out of bed in the morning is the prospect of what's going to happen that day. Maybe it's a day you've been waiting for a long time, a celebration of sorts. Maybe it's Christmas Day, for example, or a birthday for yourself or a spouse, or some day that you've so looked forward to, going on vacation, coming back from vacation. If that gets the spring in your step, well, good. What gets our spring in our step to get us out of spiritual sleep, which is what the text is referring to when it says, do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. The scriptures encourage us to awake, to wake up, to get out of that sleepiness that accompanies unbelief. Now wait a minute, I thought we were all believers. Why am I talking about unbelief? Well, liken it to that man who came to Jesus and asked him to come and heal his daughter. And he said, if you believe, these things will happen. And the man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Help me with my doubts. Help me with my sinful nature, which always wants to drag me away from your word and to get me back in the slumber of unbelief. That's what the Apostle Paul is warning here. All of us realize that we have that sinful nature, that it's so easy to be tempted away from being awake spiritually to being asleep and even turning a blind eye to our own sins. We all know that that happens every day in our lives. Well, the Apostle Paul is here to tell us to wake up. Wake up. Why? He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. You know, when we're doing, when we're involved with a sin in our lives, in your life, when you're involved with sin, and you kind of know it's wrong, but you're kind of just going along with it anyway, that's what Paul is talking about here. Spiritual slumber. Thinking that it's okay to have, to be involved with this or that, even though it's not exactly 100%. Paul says, watch out. Wake up. The night is far spent. The night he's talking about is our present evil age. The fact that we are under the curse of sin. It's all around us. It's in us. Death is here. But that's far spent. That time is gone. Not gone, but it's almost over. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. That should cause us to wake up. Wake up. Counting on the salvation that God has planned for you. You know, when you read through these verses, we're studying long gospel in Bible class. When you read through these verses, you might ask yourself, now, wait a minute. There's a whole lot of law on what we should be doing for Christ, but where's the gospel? Where's the message of what God has done for us? Where's that unconditional declaration of sins forgiven, of God's plan? It's all right there in the word salvation. In verse 11, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. It's in that word. It's in the armor of light phrase of verse 12. It's in the put on the Lord Jesus Christ phrase of verse 14. All of these evangelical admonitions, these, hey, let's do this and let's do this, that you read in the epistles, like this letter from the Apostle Paul to the Romans, all of those let's do this comments are inspired by God. Therefore, they are God's holy word. Therefore, within that word comes the ability to do what the apostle says. Within the word is the power. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The word itself empowers us. So when we read these evangelical admonitions to do things, we realize the Lord is not asking us to do something that He won't empower us to do through His gospel message, through the salvation that He has set up for us. I can do this knowing the time, that the time is now. The hour is at hand to have this wake-up call, to be wide awake spiritually, knowing what's going on around me, in me, around me in the world, and cast off those works of darkness. Those times are far spent. The day is coming. How old are you? Well, just think of all the years that you've lived here on earth. Those days are far spent. If judgment day comes today, or tomorrow, or next week, or next year, you've still got those years behind you. They're far spent. The day is at hand. Now, judgment day may come for you on the sooner than you may die a temporal death here on this. It could happen today, Lord forbid, or tomorrow or next week. We could be taken by the Lord's will to Himself in heaven, and for that, well, that's effectually judgment day for you, because the next thing you know, once you close your eyes in death, the judgment day comes and everybody's there and off you go into heaven. So when you look at how old you are, when you look at the years that have gone by, you can tell yourself the night is far spent. And really, when you think about it, judgment day is one day closer today than it was yesterday. When you wake up tomorrow, if that's the Lord's will, it'll be one day closer than it is today. We are watching, and that is if you could really whittle down the meanings of these Sundays in Advent. Today, this first Sunday in Advent is, in one word, watch. Be aware, like Matthew says, watch. If the master of the house had known when the house would be broken into, he would have watched and not allowed it to happen. If you knew the day and hour that Christ was coming again, you'd be wide awake. You'd make sure you were awake and probably doing the most holy thing you can imagine doing, while here. Maybe you'd want to be in church, singing a hymn, or reading the Bible. Watch, Scripture says, for the time is now. It's right now. To do what? This is our... The time is now to wake up and to get dressed. Getting dressed is an everyday activity, isn't it? You get done with your night's sleep, you know that those night clothes are not proper for what you've got planned for the day, so you set them aside and you get dressed for the day. That's the illustration that the Apostle Paul here uses to set aside the works of darkness. Don't have anything to do with them. Put them aside because the day is here. Get dressed. He tells us what not to do. He says, don't walk in revelry, which is that live for the party spirit. Don't walk in drunkenness, lewdness, which is any sexual sin, lust, strife, someone who's always chasing after conflicts, envy. Watch out for jealousy and envy, and which upon which follows closely hatred and other hurtful things. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Remember, with the commands come the power to carry it out. If I know that I am susceptible to a certain any one of these particular things that the Apostle Paul lists, I can plan ahead, not for it, but to build up my faith so that I don't fall prey to whatever temptation assails me. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Don't plan to sin. Are there things in your life you're planning for and putting aside, saying, well, this is secret, no one knows about it, and it's okay? Watch out for that. This is the wake-up call. The time is now to dress properly, to leave those things behind. And rather than making provision for the flesh, let us make provision for the Spirit. Let us make sure that during this time that we prepare our hearts for the Advent season, for the coming of our Savior, that we are hearing His Word, that we are taking it to heart, that the Holy Spirit then will work in our hearts the gospel message of what Christ has done. The whole reason we celebrate Advent is because our great and powerful loving God came down to earth to live a life of substitution for us. That's the reason we celebrate. So He could offer a sacrifice of the one sacrifice needed. He came so that you and I would never have to be afraid of death. So that we'd never have to think that the Lord's going to be angry with me and take it out on me. The Lord is going to punish me for this or that. We don't have to be afraid and think that that is our kind of God that we have. Our God is gracious and kind and loving and slow to anger and long-suffering. And He encourages us again and again that as we hear that gospel message, our faith will take hold of it and give us the ability to carry out God-pleasing things, to live a life that's pleasing to Him. He'll allow us to go through our day with our eyes open, knowing that the time is now. He will give us that ability to dress correctly. Rather than, our text says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of garment is that? Well, it's the white robe of Christ's righteousness. And the Scriptures give you that encouragement. Put it on. Wrap yourself in the full forgiveness of sins found in your Savior Jesus. Remind yourself that there is now nothing between you and God that the devil can point to and say, see, he deserves punishment. Uh-uh. Not a thing. It's all taken care of because of Christ's perfect keeping of God's holy law, which we call, in one word, righteousness. And that's now accounted to you. That's the name of that set of clothes you're wearing to face the day. You get up out of bed knowing that you get to dress in the best clothes ever. The white robe of Christ's righteousness. Get dressed with that. Make provision to keep that white garment of Christ wrapped around you. You know, when Christians are baptized into Christ, which you have been, Paul writes to the Galatians in chapter 3 that they were clothed with Christ. You see, at your baptism, you actually took upon yourself all his merits, everything that he ever did right, everything that he didn't do wrong. You took those things upon yourself at your baptism. All that he and his saving work accomplished for them, or for you, is yours now. But this baptismal ceremony is not a magical formula of some kind, performed once and then to be forgotten. Having been clothed with Christ, getting dressed with our Savior's righteousness by baptism, your faith was given to you by God at that time. That faith that was given to you can't help but lead a godly life, a life that is separated from this sinful world and dedicated to God. So while the lights of Christmas shine around us, reminding us of the light of Christ's love for us, we too can shine forth in our lives, knowing and being aware that the time is now, we're dressed correctly, we're wide awake, and we get to look forward to that great day, the new day. What is that new day? Again, verse 11, "For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand." He's talking about Judgment Day, isn't he? Of course he is. The day is at hand. Judgment Day is coming. When? I don't know when. The Bible doesn't tell us. And be careful that someone else doesn't try to tell you when the day and hour of the end of the world will be. I know it won't be according to the Mayan calendar this month. If there was ever a time where it won't be that day. But only the Father in heaven knows what that day and hour. Only God knows when Judgment Day comes. But we do know it's coming, for he has promised. And which of God's promises have ever failed us? Ever? You know that not one of God's promises has ever failed. Not one. So when he says, "I'm coming again," when the angel told the disciples gazing up into heaven after Jesus ascended that he would come in the same way on the clouds of heaven, you can count that to be true because God tells us it is. We look forward to that day knowing that this world of sin, the curse of sin, and the strength of death, the things that are gone wrong in this world are temporary. They have an end time. What will never end is your life. You will always be alive in Jesus Christ. He himself says it. "He who lives and believes in me shall never die." Does temporal death come? Well, if Judgment Day doesn't come first, you'll go through temporal death. But you'll always be alive in Christ. Your soul, your body may die, but your soul will live and reign forever with him who has made it possible for you, your Savior Jesus. We look forward to that day then, to Judgment Day itself. What an opportunity. What a great time that will be to be standing at the right hand of God and to hear him say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's your inheritance. That's what you stand to receive. What a gift that will be. What a Christmas Day gift that will be, or whatever day it falls on. It's going to be because of Christ, isn't it, that we inherit eternal life? It's going to be because of what he accomplished for us on the cross that we get to continue to live our lives to his glory, knowing that his word makes us wide awake and watchful. It's his word that gives us the ability to see that now is the time. So, you've heard again and been encouraged through not only this sermon text, but also our other Bible readings, our whole service today, about the Lord's wake-up call for you and for all our fellow believers. Well, let's not hit that snooze button. May the powerful word work in you vigorously so that you awaken from the slumbers of sin, so that you open your eyes to the light of the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done, of why he came that first time in Bethlehem, and why we so look forward to his second coming. O Lord Jesus, come. Amen.